We thank you, Lord, that the stain that we were covered in, you lifted, and you covered us with your blood. Oh, Lord, you being the Holy One, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, chose to look down on us with your mercy and your passion. Oh, and your grace. Oh, that you would choose to love us. Lord, we stand here amazed. Amazed, Lord, that you care about everything in our lives. And you chose to share our life with you. You chose to be our Father, our Savior, but you chose to be our Daddy. Not this glorified King that stands afar off, but a Father that wants us to climb up on his lap and wants to embrace us in his love. Oh, Lord, you're so good. You're so good. And Lord, we go through so many fires and we don't necessarily understand why. Some we've caused on our own and we walk through them with you. But some, they just catch us, blindside us. And Lord, sometimes we feel such a heaviness and we want to give up. But Lord, you keep calling us and drawing us with your love. You keep holding your hand out and extending it to us and saying, child, hold on. I'm here. Just listen to the still small voice. Listen. Listen to what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now. Open your heart to him. Allow him to penetrate your soul and your spirit. Allow him to recharge you, to regenerate you. Allow him to move in your life. It's all our choice. He's a gentleman. He'll not push himself on anyone. He waits willingly for us to surrender. And I pray that we would surrender. Not just part, but all of us. All of our being here tonight in Jesus' name. Lord, I just pray for your anointing to continue to flood this place, Lord. I thank you that your anointing will rest on Mark as he preaches your word, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that your word is truth and life and it delivers. And that it will not return void, Lord, but it will accomplish what you sent it out to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
You may be seated.
Welcome to Celebrate Recovery. My name is Mark Havens, and I am a believer in Christ that has struggled with control so much it's led me to steal and cause all kinds of hurts, habits, and hang-ups. And I am glad you're here. Thanks to Jan and Wally and Erica for their worship as always, and Pastor Mike has the night off, so that is why I am privileged enough to do the message. He is perfectly fine, and he will be back next Thursday. Inside your bulletins, there's a prayer card. If you fill that out, and there's a bucket in the back, you can drop that off in there, and if God is leading you to have any donations, they can be left in there also. So tonight we're going to talk about moral, specifically moral inventory. And before we go there, I just kind of want to, does everybody know about the baseball movie, Home Run, starting? It starts Friday. Is anybody going?
Yep.
Awesome. Cool. If you're not, let's play the video and maybe.
Now stepping up, number 9, Corey Brand.
Were you drinking on the plane? Would you please slow down?
What are you talking about, huh?
Corey Brand DUI caught on tape. Over a million hits.
Touch it now!
Doc, is he all right?
You've been suspended for 8 weeks.
Was there alcohol involved in the accident?
Corey, have you been suspended by the Grizzlies?
The Grizzlies want proof that you're attending a 12-step program.
12-step?
They want you out of sight until you've completed 8 weeks. Mr. Brand has kindly offered to stay here in Okmulgee and take his brother's place as head coach of the kids' baseball team.
Emma Johnson.
I'm actually one of the Bulldogs' other coaches.
Come check this out. Your mom and Corey Brand were the best couple in high school.
You're pretty much just a wild child felon to them.
But I've changed, Emma.
Clearly.
I found you a 12-step program.
Hey, listen, I think I landed in the wrong room over there.
You're in the right room. It just takes a while to know it sometimes.
This is how it changes. This is where it changes.
People don't change.
Walk away. That's what you do best, Corey.
You had no right.
What do you know about my life?
You will not say no.
No, I'm staying.
Bring it in. Bring it in. Where's Tyler? Tyler!
That's what I'm talking about. You're a great mom. To this love I come to know. Nothing great happens when you hold back.
It's a true story. Pretty awesome. We are going Friday night, and my son is so excited about it. We haven't gone to a movie in quite a while, so finally found one we can all go to. So tonight, moral inventory. It's principle four, and principle four is to openly examine and confess my faults to myself, to God, and to someone I trust. The supporting scripture for that is Matthew 5:8, which says, "Happy are the pure in heart." Which, when I was putting this together, I kind of stopped right there and said, happy are the pure in heart. Who are the pure in heart? But if you look at the story of David and all the stuff that he did, in that God still called him a man after my own heart. He had adultery and sent the woman he had adultery with, her husband, into battle, so basically he would get murdered, and he wouldn't have to worry about that. Problems after problems that we all deal with, that we all go through, different things, different problems, and yet, you know, God called him a man after his own heart. And I think the key word in that right there is after. He's a man after his own heart. He's searching for him. He felt guilty and wanted to better himself. And I think that's the key part. So happy are the pure in heart. It's those who are searching for a purer heart, trying to do better. Because step four is that we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. In Lamentations 3:4 says, "Let us examine our ways and test them. Let us return to the Lord." So tonight's all about digging in to this recovery process and trying to begin the growth process of the recovery. And it's not always an easy one. Nobody wants to revisit the past. Nobody wants to write things down and look at the regrets. But tonight we're going to look at some of the ways to maximize the growth and minimize the regrets, and the pain that comes with the regrets. If you were in Word of Grace this past weekend ago, there was a video played of a very shortened version of my testimony. And it's not fun. It's not fun to think about and get caught up thinking about the negative part of that past. And for nobody involved in that, my family especially, but when you can look at what God brought us through and what God has done for us today, it puts it into perspective. So if that can help one person also, if it can bring hope to one person, then it's worth it. The truth is that we have to go through it to get completely past it. We have to learn from it, because a lot of times the devil traps us the same way that he trapped us in the past before. He knows our weak spots and will catch us up. And then again, a lot of us try to just rationalize the past. A lot of us complain about the present, and some of us even fear the future. I used to. The unknown is always the scariest. But when you really choose to dig in to this principle 4 and continue on through principle 5, I'm positive growth will occur for anybody. Principle 4 begins the process of coming clean. We need to clean out the decay of the past, that the past is built up in, for some of us for many years, that buildup can skew our perception of the truth about our past and present too. And Pastor Rick Warren calls this truth decay. It's a tooth decay. But if you don't know the story of Celebrate Recovery and how Celebrate Recovery started, I just mentioned Pastor Rick Warren, but Celebrate Recovery started because of a gentleman by the name of John Baker that was going through issues in life and wasn't finding help that he needed to. And Celebrate Recovery started back in 1990 when John Baker wrote a letter to Rick Warren saying, it was a 13-page letter saying, this is what I think we need. We need a Christ-centered, we need to do this. You know, AA's just not doing it. They won't let me express my higher power. And this is, you know, something that would be good for you guys to start. And Pastor Rick Warren called him in and said, you know what, John, great, you start it. And that's how it happened. And look where it's at today. Pretty amazing. So a moral inventory. What is a moral inventory and how do I do this thing? A moral inventory, the definition of a moral inventory is simply it's a list of past events or circumstances that attribute to our dysfunctional behavior. And for tonight's purpose, the word moral simply means honest. We're just going to make an honest list of these things, but we're also going to balance it with good. We'll get into that. And morals, for tonight's purpose, moral isn't, we're not, it's step 4, we're not setting a level that's unattainable or something that you can't live up to. Moral in this sense, it's just an honest inventory, the good and the bad in your life. And we're going to do this in prayer. You should go to God and ask him to help you with this, to see honestly what in your past you want to work on. So tonight's acrostic is actually going to help explain the 5 things that you need to do to make this inventory, to make this list. And let me tell you, this list, it opens the doors to healing. That's where that Lamentations 3:40, that we examine our ways and test them and let us return to the Lord, that's where this is going to come alive. So the M in the acrostic tonight is to make time. This inventory is not going to happen unless you make time to do it. Actually try to figure out a time where you can get alone with God. And whether it's an hour this next week, whether it's 30 minutes, a couple times, whatever works into your schedule, make the time. Make the time to do it. Whatever it takes. If you have to look at your calendar and write it down, if you have an appointment book, if you put it in your phone to remind you, whatever it is, the supporting scripture for making the time is Job 33:33. It says, listen to me, keep silence, and I will teach you wisdom. You want to get to know his voice. You want to get that alone time and really get to know the thoughts and the feelings that are coming from him. And the more you do this, the more you are. When you're discerning over something, there's not going to be any confusion. And the longer that you do this, the longer you give it a try, the longer you walk with Christ, you'll know the thoughts from him. And your first reaction, your first feelings, it's like flipping a light switch. You know that light's going to go on. It's going to get a point where your Christian reactions, your Christian thoughts about all this, it'll just be more natural. It'll just come more natural. So make the time. It's important to make the time to do this. This, again, is where the doors to the healing process are opened. Which brings us to the O, which is open. We need to open our heart and our minds when we're doing this. God wants us to open our hearts. He wants our hearts. He doesn't want us holding anything back. He wants to correct our false thinking. He wants to give us a new perspective, to see the big picture, that what his plans are for us in this world. And just be 100% transparent. When you're doing this, it just has to be you. So be 100% transparent. And when you do that, and eventually it rolls into your life, when you're being 100% transparent, let me tell you, you don't have to worry about anything. When that video plays up on the screen of what I did in my past, and I don't have to worry about anybody seeing this at church and it getting back to my boss or anything like that. They know the whole story too. I was 100% transparent, and that's how you get back on track, and God will continue to open the doors and show you how he can use you. And you never know, he may even bless you along the way. So when you do make this list, when you see the truth of your past, you need to express it. Job 7, verse 11, it says, let me express my anguish. Job, if you know the story of Job, he was a wealthy man of God, doing good, and God allowed a lot of tribulation to come into his life. And that's what he's talking about in chapter 7, verse 11, is let me express my anguish. God knows our hearts. God knows what we're thinking. He knows what we're going through. You can express it to him. Which, when you first start doing this list, the first thing to ask yourself is, what do you feel guilty about? That's the first thing, whatever the first thing is that comes to your mind, that's the first thing to write down on this list. And then we're going to balance it out with something good. You take a piece of paper and draw a line down the middle and put, what do you feel guilty about on one side, and on the other side, put, what are you happy about? Balance it out. If there's three things that you feel guilty about, put at least three things that you're happy about, or five or six things that you're happy about. Let the balance go towards the good side. This is where you need to talk about understanding the God-given purpose of guilt. God uses guilt to correct us through his Spirit when we are wrong. And that's called conviction. It hurts. God does not use that. He doesn't use the guilt to convict us. We don't want to confuse the conviction with condemnation. Romans 8:1 tells us that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Once we have made the decision to ask Jesus into our hearts, once we confess our wrongs, accept Christ's perfect forgiveness and turn our sins over, as far as God's concerned, the guilt purpose is done. To make us feel bad about what we did in the past, that's over. It's finished. It's that part is over. We're the ones that like to hold on to it, and we're the ones that like to beat ourselves up over it. And trust me, I know personally that no one could say anything to me worse than I said to myself. And I wasn't worried about what anybody was going to say to me or tell me, because I had said it to myself already. And that is condemnation. That does not come from God. Doing principle 4 will help you let go of this guilt once and for all. The next question that you should put on your list is, what do you resent? And then on the other column, balance it with, what are you blessed with? Resentments, they result from burying our hurts. If resentments are suppressed, they cause anger, frustration, depression, all kinds of more problems. In the past, they can also create fear. Fear is what's going to prevent you from expressing yourself honestly and actually doing this inventory. Like I already said, it's the unknown. Fear is the unknown. Which leads us to perfectly next question is, what are your fears? Write a couple things down on that and balance it with, what are my successes? Overcoming your fears is definitely a success. And when you're doing this, and just remember these verses, Joshua 1:9 tells us, do not be afraid or discouraged, for I, the Lord your God, am with you wherever you go. In the last message I gave on hope, I brought up Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This is right out of the Bible. This is right out of God's words to you. So remember these things when you're doing it. Don't let these questions discourage you. But make sure you have the balance. If your focus is all on the negative, it's easy to get stuck. And get help too. Remember, it's, you know, confess my faults to myself, to God, and to someone I trust. And that part about, you know, getting a sponsor or an accountability partner, that's a few more steps down the road. But if you have one already, good. If there's someone you can trust, share this with them. But pay attention to the next letter in the acrostic, because this is where your focus needs to be. And that's the R is rely. And you want to rely on Jesus to give you the courage and strength to do what you need to do in this step. Take this to him. Give this to him. Believe and trust that he will get you through it. He can get you through anything. Isaiah 4, verse 29 tells us that Jesus gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. So before I go any further, though, I want to remind you that these principles, these steps of Celebrate Recovery, they're in order for a reason. And you need to complete principle 3, turning your life over to God, before you can successfully work principle 4. And if tonight is your first night here, awesome, great. But if you can get online or go to the library and go online and listen to steps 1, 2, and 3, and they're in order for a purpose. But once you know the love and the power of the one and only higher power, Jesus Christ, there's no longer going to be any fears on this principle. Psalm 31, 23 and 24, love the Lord, all you godly ones, for the Lord protects you for those who are loyal to him. Talking about relying on God and Jesus, I went to a fundraising dinner for the prison ministry that I'm involved with a couple weeks ago, and just an amazing speaker, telling the story of how he lost his whole family in his two daughters and wife. Wife was a volunteer, and they were doing a church trip to an amusement park. And on the way home from the amusement park, the bus was in an accident, and they had just filled up on gas, and one of the axles broke in this accident, and sparks were flying everywhere, and it blew up in flames, and he lost his whole family. And he said that somebody had come up to him at one point and said, you know, years later, looking back, you know, how did you make it through that? How did you get through something that hard? And I connected it right away with what he said. He just said that when you go down as low as you can go, when he was at the lowest point, the only thing he could do was look up and reach for the hand of God that was reaching down for him and letting him pick him up out of that dark, deep hole. When he said that, it took me back instantly to when I was incarcerated. I would try to go to any church, Bible study group, whatever. I just wanted to grow closer as much as I could in such a terrible place. And they had us do this kind of silly, in a way, thing where we had to draw an illustration of however we thought about God. And that day it was a terrible drawing, but I drew a hand, a little stick person standing in that hand, and I drew what was supposed to be my boat and cars and money signs and all that stuff. And the gentleman that was doing this from a church, the volunteer, came by and saw it, and he's just like, "Can you explain that? What are you drawing there?" And I said, "Well, that's God picking me up away from all that stuff that doesn't matter." And I had drawn three other stick figures because he was picking me up towards my family. So when he said about being down in the lowest, deepest, darkest, and God picking him out of that, it's exactly what happened. Remember, courage isn't the absence of fear, but the conquering of it. So now you're ready for the A. The A is to analyze your past honestly. To do a searching and fearless inventory, you must step out of your denial, because we cannot put our faults behind us until we face them. And we need to see the truth of the present. We need to use our minds. This is a God-given system to gather the information, to analyze it, not to jump to conclusions, not to try to rationalize what went wrong, what happened, why did I do this. Some of the important things that you can think about when you're reviewing this list and other questions to ask yourself while you're doing this is, do you really understand what was going on here? Did you at that point, or do you now, if you're facing something, have all the facts? And where do I lack understanding of what's going on or what is happening? What action should I take for what's going on or what happened in the past? And what are going to be the consequences of these actions? Some of us love to analyze things. Some of us just tuned out there when I was talking for the last couple of minutes. But remember what Lamentation tells us. Examine our ways. Do this for the good and the bad. Which brings us to the last letter. The L. The L is to list. Remember the definition of a moral inventory? It's a list of past events or circumstances that attribute to our dysfunctional behaviors. But we, part of Celebrate Recovery, we want to balance that. We want to balance that with the good. And seeing your past written down, it's going to bring you face to face with the reality of your character defects also. The black and white discovery of who you are truly way down deep. It's just, I can't stress how important it is to balance that with the good, or you're going to get stuck. And you might even think that this, if you only focus on the negative, if you don't balance it, that this CR stuff is just too hard, that it's too painful to look at the past. But you need to balance it. You need to go through it. And that's how you're going to overcome it. And that's how you're going to keep moving forward and keep stepping forward. So maybe you're thinking, what is really the value of going to be by doing this moral inventory? It's to learn the truth. It's to learn the truth and learn that God's love is unconditional. Even with all that stuff on your bad side of the inventory list, when you were going through all that stuff, God still loved you. He was still there for you. He was waiting for you. As Jan said earlier, He loved you before you were even created. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you. There are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and to give you hope." A lot of people know that verse, Jeremiah 29:11. They've heard it, they've seen it, they've memorized it. Does anybody know what verse 12 says? It says, "In those days when you pray, I will listen." And that's His word. And that's the truth. And that's the value of doing this inventory. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we just thank You for who You are. Such an awesome God. Loving, caring. Just amazing. We thank You for what You've done. We thank You for what You're going to do. Lord, You know each one of us individually. You know what we're going through. You know what we need. We just ask that You give us the thoughts and the feelings to see Your will for us, to see Your grace, and give us the desire, by giving us just a little bit of hope, to give us the desire to continue to search Your will. We ask this in Your Son's name. Amen. Thank You. So, if tonight is your first night here, you're going to...